6:45, still some air quality warnings north of Saskatoon and Humboldt this morning. And nothing for pretty well, all of southern Saskatchewan and a good chunk of central Saskatchewan this morning. Well, the Mounties and Regina, as we know, have a deep history. Of course, it's where all cadets in this country come to train. Before they're constable or sergeant, maybe even inspector, they start out here. And it's there at Depot. You can take in an RCMP sunset ceremony. There's only one left, and that is tomorrow for this season. Corporal Miles Hebert joins us now on this. Good morning, Corporal. How are you?
I'm well, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So this sunset ceremony, now, for those who have not heard about it before, because it's not necessarily new, it is a proud tradition for Mounties. Give us a little explainer of what this ceremony is.
Well, actually, the sunset ceremonies themselves have been going on since the 1960s. The sunset ceremony is based on a military tradition when at dusk, when all the soldiers had returned to their post, the flag was lowered in a ceremony marking the end of the day. So in homage to that, we are continuing this tradition, and we are happy to host these sunset ceremonies in the month of July at Depot.
And so I understand there could be, you might want to bring some ear protection, live cannon and rifle fire here so it can get loud.
It will. You know, it can and it does. We've got some historic field pieces that we'll be firing. And in addition to that, we're happy to have as our special guests Parks Canada this year for our final event on Tuesday night. They're celebrating 150 years of Fort Walsh in the Cypress Hills, which was the first RCMP detachment.
And as well, Depot's 140th anniversary this year, too.
That's right. Yeah, we're excited. It's a proud moment for us, and we're happy to have the folks from Regina, and we actually get tours from all over the world come out and see us. We've got lots of room for everybody. I would suggest you bring a lawn chair where you can sit in the grass and sit around and enjoy the show. The doors open at 5:30, and we start at 6 o'clock.
And so the cadets, they kind of march around, parade around the square there. Is that what they do?
They do. There's going to be dismounted cavalry drill, which the cadets will perform with our live RCMP Depot Division marching band. And there's going to be artillery fire. And we have some cadets in period uniforms from the 1800s, which is interesting to see, as well as of our good friend Safety Bear. So there'll be swag for the kids, and you can come and get your picture with Safety Bear.
If a cadet missteps, does the sergeant major set them straight?
We cut them some slack. We're happy to have them performing, and you know what? They put on a great show. We're happy to have the public out. It's a good chance to have a look inside the gates and see what we do and the beautiful facility that we have here.
Well, thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kevin.
Corporal Miles Hebert talking to us about the RCMP Sunset Ceremony. The last one is tomorrow at Depot for this season, and again, it is free. Take it slow, then trippy. Come on, baby, be my jelly, be. You know what I'm saying? Hey, baby, let me see it. 6:52. Hey, a surprise donation from Regina-born music star Tesher is helping immigrant women and families thrive in Saskatchewan. The internationally known artist just donated $25,000. It was Tesher's winnings from a recent appearance on Bell Media's Battle of the Generations. Tesher is donating that to the Regina Immigrant Women's Center. Center only learned about the gift days before the episode aired and had no idea Tesher had chosen them as his charity. 6:52 now on your Monday morning. Thanks for being with us. Lisa Schick joining us now from the CJME Newsroom. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
I don't know if you are aware of this fact today. It's National Junk Food Day, Lisa.
Every day is National Junk Food Day for me.
In small quantities, maybe. we'll hope. What's your favorite? You have a favorite junk food? Your go-to pick-me-up food?
Oh, yeah. Every time it's all-dressed chips. I go very Canadian with it. Has to be all-dressed. The ruffles with the little ridges.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I find that it depends on where I am. If I'm driving, it's got to be Twizzlers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about Twizzlers that is such a perfect road trip snack, maybe because it doesn't gunk up your hands at all. You can just, you know, you can continue to pack them in. Chips I love too when I'm at home. It doesn't matter what bag. It seems like if you have a bag of chips, I'll even go for the healthy stuff. Every now and then I'll be at a place where they'll have like, you know, sweet potato chips. I'll be like, okay, sure. If it's in front of me, I'll just continue to mow them down. That's just where I am. Let's talk about some of the headlines this morning. The future of Wascana Center. So this is a story that we brought you on Friday. It's right now at CJME.com. And they have this master plan that they're trying to finalize about what Wascana Center should look like. What should Wascana Park look like? Should it include more picnic areas? Should it include more pathways? A lot of different things in there, Lisa. And I mean, that's just the start of it, because feedback is, to be understanding, is still being collected right now. And I mean, we could see a lot of different things in the future here.
Yeah, you know, they talk about like Wascana Center, Wascana Park as like a gem in Regina. You know, everybody goes there. When people come to Regina, they always get directed to the park. And so this is kind of their plan for how it's going to evolve over kind of the next 10 years. So they're talking about, you know, updating public washrooms, expanding their picnic sites, things like park benches, and adding other amenities like that to make it a more enjoyable place to be, I guess.
I always thought that in the wintertime, and I've seen this in other cities, that they don't have like a dedicated area for lights. Like, you know, like the place to go to, you bring your families, it's, you know, light corner or light the lights. I know a lot of places will do, and you take your families through it. I mean, I know some cities charge for it, but I've walked through some of the other cities. It's a nice thing to do in the winter. Get outside if it's not too cold. I know other cities, lights are very popular. And so just one of the things that, well, I guess maybe people have already talked to the city about that. Maybe that's something you'd like to see. What about new buildings? You know, restaurants, or perhaps pubs around the lake. Some of the feedback that perhaps the city is taking right now. Lisa Schicken with me this morning. We're also talking in the news this morning, Lisa, about a big meeting among premiers starting today.
Yeah, the Council of the Federation, they're all getting together for their annual meeting. This is in Ontario. Doug Ford is the chair of the council right now. So this is all the premiers. They're going to be talking about trade and tariffs. This has been the big thing since, I mean, last fall. They had their meeting in Saskatoon, first ministers. That was a whole big thing. So Premier Scott Moe, he is going to be kind of on that theme, and he's going to be continuing to talk about, you know, the new West Trade Partnership. This is the trade partnership that the Western provinces have. He had already invited the Northern provinces, and then the premier sent out invites to the rest of the premiers for the rest of the country saying, you know, if we're all in on this, it'll be even better. We can knock down trade barriers and get things going just within Canada.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Lisa Schick is back in about 3 minutes' time. CJME News time is now 6:57. Stop me up. 7:14 on your Monday morning. I'm Kevin Martell, back for one more day before Greg is back tomorrow morning. Hey, it's back to school season. I was in a big box store over the weekend, and yeah, there it is. All the fresh binders and pencil crayons and yeah, get ready to spend quite a lot of money on school supplies. Hey, is Christmas supplies out yet? Christmas decorations? Hey, it's only July, right? Anybody check? Gotta be soon. It's Christmas in July. It's the Rider game on Friday. Christmas in July. So somebody is embracing the season that's still, what, 5 months away? Is that right? Yeah, pretty well, almost. Speaking of the Riders, of course, they rebounded this past weekend after their first loss of the season to Calgary the week before. Saskatchewan beat the Lions in BC 33-27. Fans calling into the Green Zone postgame show, they were pumped.
That, I can't believe, was the same team that I saw last weekend.
They came out really prepared. That was obvious right from the get-go.
They played so well today. We got 14 people on the bus. Two aren't happy. The rest of us are.
I sat through it, gentlemen, you know, through 30 hours of football last weekend, thoroughly disappointed, disgusted, depressed, to see the transition from one week to the next. Maybe that's why we love sport.
I think we had a great chance of going to the Grey Cup if we keep playing the way we're playing.
Yeah, next up, Edmonton at Mosaic on Friday night. It should be worth noting the Elks have won three of their last four meetings against the Riders at Mosaic. Don't let the Elks' 1-4 record fool you. And by the way, speaking of records, Saskatchewan's now 5-1. Of course, so are the Calgary Stampeders. Who actually, it was funny because Calgary, their only loss, came to the Ottawa Redblacks, who are 1-6. Odd. Odd the way that some games work out. And it can also prove that any team can beat any other team on any given night. Hey, we had a bit of new rain over the weekend. Last night, Saskatoon got hit with really heavy rain for the second time in the last couple weeks. They had flash flooding. You can see pictures right now at CJME.com. One of them shows a garbage bin, which has basically turned into an island in the middle of a road that is filled with water. Some people reported the water in spots being knee deep. That's not all. There were a couple reports of possible tornadoes. Environment Canada tells us one did touch around Cadillac, south of Swift Current. That was on Saturday. So far, no damage is reported. While we did see reports of tornado touchdowns on social media yesterday, southeast of Saskatoon, for example, around Allen, the weather office says it only heard of funnel cloud reports, though it also sounds like Environment Canada is still compiling information. Hearing things got pretty windy as well. Southeast of Regina, heard one report of a grain bin that flew across the highway in front of some people around Chrono last night. And as you've been hearing in the forecast, we have, a little bit more rain that is possible to come here over the next couple days. .722 on your Monday morning. A little cloudy out there as we wake up. And there are air quality warnings still in place. Not for here, but for a little more north of us. In fact, north of Saskatoon and Humboldt this morning, keeping an eye on wildfire smoke. Joined now by Evan Bray. And Evan, just like me, I know you watched the Rough Rider game.
Yeah.
But it really was a nice bounce back. I think Rider Nation was a little I think they kind of held their breath after the last game against Calgary, and they were waiting to exhale, and I think they were able to do it after this.
I think it was the most decisive win for the Riders of the year. Like, I think they controlled that game as good as they've controlled any game, knowing that they've got five wins.
Right.
This one, to me, was the one that showed they're the real deal. I think one of the biggest differences in this game was the O-line. Like, we didn't see Harris get sacked,
yep,
which gave him time to throw passes, which gave him time. A.J. Ouellette ran the ball. Yep. I know he didn't have, like, a career game, but he still was much better than last week. I think that O-line was really the key to the success that we saw in that game. And it showed that we are the real deal. I mean, 5-1, that's no joke to start the season. I think we've seen now the Stampeders beat Winnipeg again this weekend.
Yeah.
They're going to be a tough team, but that game said a lot to me, actually, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you can never, like, we host the Elks on Friday,
right,
and this is a team, like, when you look on paper, well, yeah, we should steamroll them, right? And Belton Johnson told me this morning, this is a game we should be winning by 20-plus points. In past seasons,
yeah,
Edmonton will come into our barn with not a great record, and they'll beat us.
Yeah.
So do we get in our own heads almost, I'm wondering, sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's, I think coaching can do a lot there, right? And
yeah,
and how
yeah
he prepares them. Not just Corey Mace, but certainly he's the main driver of the kind of the energy and how they're going to approach the game this weekend. So, gosh, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a 6-1 win or 6-1 record after a decisive win this coming weekend is a great start for the Riders.
I want to talk about Mosaic Stadium being a jewel of the city. Wascana Center, the Wascana Park area, you could say is a jewel for the city. Now, they are coming up with a master plan, and it looks like they're kind of putting the final touches on this master plan. What would people like to see? A lot of people are saying, you know, pathways are the big thing that we want you to focus on. Is there anything in Wascana Park? I'm not sure how often you're there. Is there something that you would like to see there more than that we already have now?
You know, I've spent a lot of time in Wascana Park through the years, and you know, this is one of those tough ones. I can argue both sides of it. I know I've heard people say, well, we'd like a games area, you know, where you could have, well, there's some charm in just seeing a couple of people out throwing a football or a frisbee in the middle of the lawn somewhere too. Like, it's a big park. It's a massive park. So, you know, do you set up an area where you've got everything from horseshoes to beanbag toss to, you know, whatever. You could set that up quite easily. But, you know, the pathway, I mean, you can go all the way around the lake on the pathway there. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a guy who's advocating that they need to make incredible change there. I think it is part of the charm of the city of Regina. And
what about more like restaurants or pubs? I know there was a backlash for buildings, building, but what about like, cause you will have some buildings there. Would that kind of flow into the feel of the park if you could have a drink on a patio overlooking the lake, perhaps in more spots?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you've got obviously the Willow is located in the park, so there is an option there. Maybe you open it up, or maybe you go the vendor route, which I know now is a thing. You can, you know, buy a hot dog from a food truck.
Yeah.
You can, you know, those types of things. Maybe that's the way to go, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, doing a bit of a kind of a public outreach on stuff like this is you'll get 1,000 different ideas and then it comes down to distilling it. But I think if I was asked, push come to shove, I am not in favor of more commercialization in the park. I think the park's got lots as it is right now. And if you want something, you want a restaurant to go to, I don't know that you need to go to the park for that.
7:26, Evan Bray in with me. What's coming up on the show today?
Well, we got a full show today. Last week, I had Canada's Public Safety Minister on, and I talked with Gary Anandasangri about the military weapon buyback program. He basically said, yeah, it's full steam ahead. It's basically going to continue as we've promised. It's a bit delayed. We're going to increase the amnesty period. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. I think that's not what a lot of people wanted to hear. And, you know, Kevin, I've harped on this so many times, and this goes back to when I was still with the police. Yes, guns are dangerous if they're in the hands of the wrong people, if they're in the hands of a criminal wanting to use them for a criminal purpose. So to me, there's all kinds of legislation the federal government could bring in to help ensure public safety is enhanced. This buyback isn't one of them. So today I've got Bob Freeburg, the commissioner of the Saskatchewan Firearms Office, on to talk about some of his thoughts of where they should go.
Evan Bray joins us. He's back just after the 8:30 news.